get the Pinot ready.
Cause it's Taylor time. Surprise!
We're back.
Hello everybody and welcome back to Snapped Pod for a very surprising double episode.
Too snapped, too furious.
As usual, we're your hosts. I'm Paul.
And I'm Pete.
And we are back in the tortured poets department. We found more. She said, hold on.
We never left.
We were trapped inside. And then she returned to us like a messiah at 2 a.m. with 15 more tracks.
Take a day off, Taylor.
I should have taken a day off on Friday when this dropped.
We really should have, because we were not ready to record a podcast about 31 different songs that require a thesaurus, a dictionary, emotional support,
a therapy line,
tears, yeah. Tissues.
She really gagged us. Now, we've already done our full first episode of the standard edition of the Tortured Poets Department. So if you haven't listened to that, whoa. Stop spoiling it, go back and listen and then come back here.
Yeah, don't be so fucking rude. Go to the first episode.
Don't fucking rude. Are you kidding me?
But for all of our little Snap fans out there, we kind of thought this could be happening. There were some rumors of a double album starting all the way back from the announcement at the Grammys.
Yes, there's been clownery ever since the peace sign or the two fingers are up in multiple different places with multiple different people, from Taylor herself, Travis, Florence, everyone's doing the two here, there, and everywhere. And everyone thought we're getting Torture Poets and Reputation.
Right, that made sense. And then Target kind of had like this branding of like a barcode that said Serpentine alongside the Torture Poets Department vinyl. People thought maybe that was going to be like Reputation Taylor's version, obviously Snakes.
And yes, so obviously the album leaked. And then on that day, Taylor was like, anyway, on Twitter, she said, 2 days to the Torture Poets Department.
Oh, gag. Yeah, she said gag the girls. She said, pay attention to 2 o'clock.
She said two for the not the fakes.
And we said another one. Thank you at 2 a.m.
What was going through your head when you heard this?
Another one. Thank you.
Well, we didn't. We were fast asleep thinking, oh, my God, let's get the podcast recorded tomorrow. It's going to be so fun.
And then Taylor decided a second one has hit.
On a work day.
And like you said, on Wednesday, she chose violence because she did this video where we left the Midnight's room. We're like in a virtual space.
And the door was very creaky. It needed some WD-40.
Yeah, she'd been in there for a while. So went through the keyhole. Oh my God, Keith Lemon, who?
Oh, please.
Delete that from the pod. But we went into the keyhole and there was this like office environment. There were 2 clocks set to 2 o'clock, 2 desks, 2 typewriters. We were clowning.
I know, because a lot of the time recently when something has been able to clown back on us, the clown becomes us. It has been with Taylor.
Absolutely. Like, do you remember the 5 holes in the fence?
Yeah.
In this photograph of Taylor, and she was peering through like one of the holes and everyone was like, what's happening on the 5th? And Taylor still clowns about this to this day.
Well, I've seen even clownery talking about this album where the cover of the 1975 album Brief Inquiries, where it's white with different colored squares,
yes,
are to signify each of Taylor's eras.
Oh my, I didn't know that one.
No, like people are clownery.
And let's jump into the clownery, because we're going to do the exact same thing we did for the original episode. We're going to piece together these songs 1 track at a time, giving you our opinions, our theories, our conspiracies, and some mess.
Let's get into it.
Track number 17, The Black Dog.
Woof. Oh my God, wasn't that funny?
I just knew you were going to say it and then somehow it was funny.
Well, you know what's not funny? The Black Dog.
No, it's so serious.
No, but it's not funny. At the end of the day, is it? It's serious.
So, in the last episode, when I was talking about The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, I said, that's the last we'll ever hear about Matta Healy. And then she said, bitch, there's 15 more tracks, starting with The Black Dog, that will decimate your life, and it's all about Matta Healy.
If there's something you can take from this song, it is turn off your Find My Friends. because someone's watching you from their bed.
Yeah, the Vanderpump Rules girlies know that Sheena Shea would have got Taylor together on this. She would have said, girl, get that enabled.
Oh, she's not a stalker. She's just nosy. And I know from, as president of the nosy community, Paul, you can relate to this song.
Yeah, no one's ever given me their Find My, and it's for extremely good reason. Like, this is me on Snap Maps, like zooming out to find where people are, and I'm like, oh, I see where you are.
No, but this song is truly about how I can only presume enemy of the pod, Maddie Healy, is scarping around London to a pub called the Black Dog. This is post-relationship, mm-hmm. Cataclysmic event that caused this entire album to exist.
Right.
And we're distant, but Taylor's watching one eye open from the bed, and she sees him walking into a bar and is raging.
Yeah, she's imagining that he's already on to this new young girl, which, let's spoiler alert, Maddie Healy is dating a new young girl, so kind of tame period. But this song, for me, wins for the lyrics alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just love the lyric, all habits die screaming. And especially the way she delivers it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she just punches that through. She's screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Because Maddie is an old habit to her. You know, like, again, the whole concept of this is they are rekindling something that had happened 10 years prior. So it's like, oh, he was her old habit, her comfort blanket. And look how that turned out.
Yeah, literally. And I feel like it is very reminiscent of The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived when she starts comparing what he's doing to her as if it's like a fraternity pledge, the same way she discusses how he is like a sniper or undercover agent or something, that he would do something so malicious to her, and she's taken it so personally that he couldn't just be doing this by accident. He is being set up, or has set up her to experience this complete devastation, and he just walks away scot-free into the bar.
Yeah, and I think that's why she wants to put this album out, because she feels like he has gotten away scot-free and he's done something malicious. So she's like, well, this is my turn. This is how I get back at people with music. And I think in the bridge where she says, were you making fun of me with some esoteric joke? Is that again? Am I the punching bag? Am I the punchline of this storyline? This song, for me, so, so high up my ranking. I just find it really cool.
Yes, and we were discussing today at dinner whether we should be afraid of the impact of what Maddie Healy could or will do off the back of how scathing this is. As we showed in the last episode, that he did go on a rant at his show being like, I have receipts, don't fuck with me. And clearly she doesn't care, because she's now breaking records with slabbering about him. So, and as she should, women's stories matter.
They matter. And like, let's just say it, both Halsey and the 1975 have benefited with some downstream economics here. Like, I think Friday was definitely the biggest day of 1975 since the release of their last album.
Mm-hmm.
So people are tuning into his side of the story, which we're going to get into a bit more. The last thing I want to say on this song is the Black Dog in London is slaying the game on social media right now.
Mm-hmm. They know how to do marketing.
Yeah, they literally have this sign up with the lyrics to the Black Dog. People are saying we want Black Dog merch, so they're making it. Like,
yeah, did you see there they're pulling the CCTV records to see if they can find the day that Joe, Maddie, or Taylor, whoever it is.
Right.
They're like, we're pulling the records.
Yeah, they're getting receipts.
Yeah. Track number 18, I'm Gonna Get You Back.
Does anybody think this is very Want You Back by Cher Lloyd?
Wow. One outsold.
One outsold, and it is Cher Lloyd.
Yeah, Cher Lloyd by Cher Lloyd.
This song is very divisive in the PMP snapped household.
Yes, I think I should just preface this by saying that The Black Dog was my way into the anthology, and almost immediately on my first listen, this is my way out. And then I feel like I just was not clicking with the anthology. I have clicked on the majority of the songs now, but this one, I tripped on this and I struggled to get back up. And very shockingly, this is still very low on my list.
Right, yeah. And I think we can get into why. Like, I think it's important to be like, why aren't you a fan of it? I'm gonna go first and be more positive.
Yeah.
I really like this song. I remember listening to it and I was like, oh, this is kind of a bop. Like, there's a few bits where she like races to something and then it like goes to a complete stop. And I love when she plays with, like, momentum like that. Like, she's pushing you forward and then it's like, boom. And it makes you, like, it's like a gut punch every time. Which, for me, represents what this relationship was in terms of it was a really fast, almost like in Red, the song, you know, new Maserati driving down a dead-end street, fast in the wind. Mm-hmm. And it's so suddenly, like, it's like screeching forward and then pausing. Mm-hmm. And her music reflects that for me in this song. This song is all about after you've broken up with somebody, you're not sure if you want to get back with them or get back at them. And that's when she says, I'm going to get you back. Oof. I love the double entendre.
I feel like the issue for me is more that I just don't really relate to this feeling of this or that. If gonna give it all you got, gonna make it to the top, never ever gonna stop until you get the chop, and then you're chopped. There's no, I'm not trying to get back with you. If we're done.
Yeah, because you're not petty like me. You see, that's the issue. You're not as petty as me. Because I would relate more to the I'm gonna get back at you kind of vibe of this.
I'm saying boy bye, Ariana.
This song is clear reference as well to the 1975 song Falling For You, which again is written all in like the one word. Everything is lowercase, pushed together.
And I think there are a lot of connections to 1975 songs. Obviously, I've seen people pitching songs up and down to see if that's what Jack used them, because everyone's using it as a stick to beat Jack with, or right. He's lazy. But I like that. I think that that is also petty. I think
it's intentional for me. Like, Taylor doesn't do referencing without, you know, having a reason. Listen, she's a petty girl.
Yeah.
She's my petty queen.
Yeah.
And she's being petty here. The lyrics in that song, Falling For You by 1975, all we need's my bike and your enormous house. And this song, she says, I'm going to smash up your bike, take you back to my house. Like, girl, just say who it is.
Yeah. She's like, again, she's like, not Joe.
No, she's no, like,
no pics, Joe. No pics of Joe on a bike.
No, maybe in the back of a taxi cab. Yeah, I also really, really love the lyric at the end of the bridge where she's like, pick your poison, babe, I'm poison either way. Like, see, once you date Taylor Swift, you are screwed. Because if you stay with her, she has a way of just getting people to break up with her. Or, like, she has a perception that people don't want to stay with her. Or if you leave her, she's going to write all these negative songs about you and call you out on your shit, and that's the poison. Like, oh, I want to go listen to the song right now. I want to stop and listen to it.
No.
I have seen a lot of Olivia Rodrigo stans going the fuck off about this. Sorry, so I need to get into this gig, okay?
Who?
People, no, this is important because I'm not happy. People are saying that this sounds really similar to Olivia Rodrigo's song Get Him Back off of Guts. Okay, two things here. Number one, I think Get Him Back is her second best song. I love that song. Number two, this song sounds nothing like Get Him Back.
Olivia Rodrigo should stay out of people's business about what songs sound like other songs.
But that's the gig, right? People are being like, oh, so Taylor made Olivia, bullied this little girl into crediting her on Deja Vu, because it's like Cool Summer. And then they're being like, oh, now you copied her. They think karma comes back around, little girl. So don't try it. It's not Olivia's fault because she didn't say it. They do not sound similar. They're both about songs about wanting to get back at the person that they left before. I'm sorry. JoJo was singing about this in 2006. Leave, Get Out Right Now. Too Little Too Late. Oh, did Olivia cover or copy that?
No.
Not impressed.
The only Olivia Taylor's bothered with is her cat.
Track number 19. The Albatross.
So I love this song.
Me too.
I love Joe songs more than Maddie songs.
Yes, so you think this is a Joe song?
I think there are parts of Maddie in this song.
Right, I think she's universal ideas.
She's definitely singing about herself. Like, she's like telling us that she's an albatross, but I feel like the core message of this is that she was warning Joe that she was going to be an albatross for him. And I think at the start he was very like, oh, I just love you for you. I'm not loving you because you're Taylor Swift. I'm loving the person. And I feel like it is sad. Later on in this album, we'll talk about a song called The Prophecy. And I feel like deep down, this was her prophecy to him that she was always going to destroy him, whether they stayed together or broke up.
Right, yeah, the concept of fate, I feel like, in the anthology is woven throughout.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't fact-checked this because I'm not David Attenborough, but I've heard that an albatross is a large seabird that spends its first 6 years without touching the land because they're used to their kind of oceanic existence. So for me, Taylor and Joe were going out for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a link to that relationship. So I don't know whether it's just that they spent those 6 years kind of not really making roots, always traveling, flying around. Taylor with her CO2, as everybody likes to gag her for. Number 30 on that list.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see Travis Scott getting crucified because, oh, he's number one. She's number one in the Hot 100. Well, anyway, move on.
Let's thank Miss Amy for being the only woman in the top 30 that wasn't Taylor.
Absolutely. But anyway, moving on. So she's always flying around. She's going on tour. She's not really making roots anywhere. And in the second they kind of do sort of land, it doesn't work because they're out of their comfort zone. That's my gag for this one.
Yes, and obviously the old adage of having an albatross around your neck is like a burden or something that causes you to be anxious and unsettled.
Oh, yes, and Joe's famous for being depressed. So, like, I feel like, again, she feels like the reason why he felt trapped and depressed was because of her presence.
Yes, because he clearly just wanted to live a small life, do a few acting gigs and sit inside, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From what we know, and Taylor clearly wanted to be bejeweled and be shown about, and he couldn't give her that, and then she feels like she was pulling him down. I feel like this is very self-reflective negatively on her by her, so she's like, I'm negative.
We did talk a lot about the lack of accountability that she shows in the main album.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes sense because she doesn't feel like she did much wrong with Maddie. But I love that there's accountability here for Joe. I think he deserves that.
Yes, it feels so earnest after such a long relationship that clearly she was obviously promoting this album as if it was going to be a takedown of Joe. And then I feel like there's a lot of care and a lot of balanced opinions when she's singing about Joe because she knows that she was at fault. He was at fault, but also no one was at fault.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get there very soon as well.
Track number 20. Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus.
Who are these people?
Are these Larsa Pippen's children?
Oh, this song should have a different title. I'm sorry.
Yes, I was saying it should be called Always Wonder.
Love Always Wonder. Because I feel like that is what the song is. It's always wondering about if it should have worked out with that person or where are they now. It's like wondering about different things. For me, this song is about realizing that you're not going to be with this person. This person has escaped you. And one day, you're not even going to know who their new partner is. Is it going to be somebody called Chloe or Sam or Sophia or maybe even Marcus?
Donna, Lynn, Pat, Lori, Shelley, Aaliyah, Rose, Brian, Darren, and Ulysses.
Yeah, I feel like she's being like, okay, I'm out of the picture. Now there's a revolving door of he, she, they's.
Mm-hmm.
Are they bringing drugs? Are they bringing punani? We don't both. Know. Or both.
Or both.
Or neither.
Drugs in the- And I feel like she's also a bit like, I love the lyric, and you saw my bones out with somebody new who seemed like he would have bullied you in school. It's like, get that rat.
She's like, I'm over greasy art students. I'm here for the jocks.
Yeah. You belong with me. She's a cheerleader. Oh, her prophecy comes true again.
Maddie's in the bleachers.
Oh, no, Jack's in the bleachers.
Oh, Jack. Oh,
This one's fine for me. Like, I like it. I think it could have been chopped because I feel like it covers a lot of the same themes. We've got, like, wondering what the partner's going to be up to whenever you leave them. They're more interested in drugs. Just to be like, this is about Maddie girls. Let's not get confused.
I also like her little mini eras tour where she's showing off that she changed into goddesses, villains, and fools, changed plans and lovers and outfits and roles, all to outrun my desertion of you.
Mm.
So Maddie was at the start, then she's like, I was all these eras, and you just watched me and didn't make a move again.
Yeah, I like that. I also love the reference, will that make your memory fade from this scarlet maroon? Like, call back to Maroon Girl. I feel so bad for Joe, reflectively as well, because imagine, like, she's written this song Maroon about Maddie Healy, we're now guessing, from Midnight's, and you're releasing that well in a relationship with him. Like, I get if you're making it about like Jake Gyllenhaal or something, because you've got so many songs that are famously about him anyway, and Midnight's was reflective. But this almost feels like emotionally cheating by putting a song like that on your album. But then that's what she's addressing in Guilty as Sin, so I do like it.
But also, Joe is literally on Folklore as a writer, and she put The One, which now people are saying is about Maddie as well. So she actually need to go to therapy for how many songs I have to retroactively now insert Smelly Healy into my brain.
I'm gonna take them out. I can't. It can't be in my
fantasy.
Let's
just pretend.
I'm gonna pretend.
But yes, I can't help but feel like this song would just feel so much different if it wasn't called This.
Yeah, it makes it feel more juvenile to me when I actually think the subject matter is quite serious.
Yeah.
Track number 21, the track 5 of this album, How Did It End?
This song really does live up to the track 5 moment.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we got our So Long London track 5, I thought, okay, I'm broken. Mm-hmm. And then How Did It End came.
No, please. I love this song so much. And I didn't really, as I said before, I wasn't feeling any of them at the first listen. I was a bit like overwhelmed. It feels like a big wall of text that's like hitting you, and you're like, all you can hear is the melody, and you're like, what's going on?
Yeah, some of the girls who I watched react at 2 a.m. in America when this came out, not this song specifically, but the anthology, were almost like crying because they had more to listen to. You know, you do feel emotionally devastated by Clara Bow's ending, and then it's like more. So I can imagine this song just terrorizes people.
Yes, let's start at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Because straight out the gate, we hereby conduct this postmortem, which was a selling point of the album.
Yeah, it was heavily marketed actually in The Grove. We talked last week about how she had this massive library pop-up at The Grove in Los Angeles, and there was a book with loads of lyrics on it that kept changing. Turns out all of the lyrics were from this one song. And
that's
that
crazy.
Is the best one.
Oh my god, I just love this song. It's like, it's in my top 5 of this album for sure.
Yeah, it is really, really good. The lyricism here is just exquisite. Now, she keeps Joe really for these track 5s. Mm-hmm. Because, and I love that. And I love that because it shows to me that maybe Maddie takes over in terms of like content, but the emotions and the most guttural devastation come from her breakup with Joe. And that feels honest to me.
Literally. All the lyrics about him are so... they're definitely written with a quill, like...
Quill pen.
So, he was a hothouse flower to my outdoorsman. Now, we were thinking about this today while Paul's making tacos. And I feel like it is so evocative of their relationship that he was a hothouse flower. So, he wanted to be in the greenhouse. He was a succulent, doesn't need a lot of pruning or attention. Just needs a little bit of water and that's it. And then she's an outdoorsman. She wants to be out the front, Brie Van de Kamp, cutting, pruning, looking at her roses, wants everyone else to ask her about her flowers.
Yep.
She wants to be shown off. She wants to show off. And he just wants to be kind of like a recluse that just is happy to exist in the background.
Oof. You know what just hit me?
What?
OJ. The lyrics. When she wrote The Lakes, which is literally a song on Folklore, the bonus track, about wanting to move to like a real, to like the Lake District and just exist in the forest with her muse. And Joe must have heard that and went, oh my God, that's what I want. I want to be like siloed. I want to be alone with you. And then she did the ears to her. Oh my God.
No. And then she was bejeweled.
I know. Was she bejeweled at The Lakes? And no one was around to tweet it.
Oh my god, well. Remember that person who was camping during Folklore and then she came back and Folklore was there?
Well, I mean, you could go to the toilet and miss the anthology being announced. So, like, she really has stepped up her marketing to get all the girls gagged. This song, though, essentially is about that moment after you break up and you tell somebody that you've broken up and they say, how did it end? They want to know, they want to gossip. And it kind of shows that they pretend, people pretend like they really care. How are you? But the first thing and the only thing they want to know is, but what happened?
Yes, it's crazy. People will go to you, why? Not, are you okay? How are you? Even though, like, it's so devastating because sometimes when you've broken up, you're like living in this pocket universe where no one knows except you, and then you have to slowly start telling more people, and then like people's faces drop around you, and then they're being more walking on eggshells, and you're like, I don't want this, I just want to tell you, and then it's never to be brought up again. But you're right, like everyone is asking you the same question, you're being like, oh my god, I don't even have a headline, I don't have something like, oh, he cheated, oh
yeah,
he hurt me, he was abusing me. No, he and I just grew apart, and that doesn't make sense to people. People don't accept that as an answer, especially with a long-term relationship like this. It's so devastating, and to even just write about it when thinking about it is bad enough.
Yeah, she deserves a medal and she deserves a Grammy, but we'll just say that right here, right now on this pod.
Exactly.
What I do love as well, she does that thing that she does so successfully in terms of like, she will use the same phrase and make it mean something different every time.
Mm-hmm.
So the first two times she says, how did it end? It's people asking or speculating, how did it end? And then by the very end of this song, she says, but I still don't know, how did it end? Oh my God, chills.
But you don't know.
And she does, like, and I think that's honest again. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know what happened because it happened over time and it slowly eroded. Not, as you say, it wasn't like someone cheated. We don't think at this point anyway. Another lyric I really love, and it sounds kind of immature initially, is in the bridge where she said, my beloved ghost and me sitting in a tree, D-Y-I-N-G. Now, spelling is fun. She spelled it dying.
She said spelling is not fun.
Spelling is actually quite morbid here. But I only kind of realized, we're only kind of like realizing that instead of K-I-S-S-I-N-G, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes baby in the golden carriage. She never got that baby and never got that marriage from Joe. And that really is like a subtle way to reference those things instead of being so obvious, like on So Long London when we talk about the altar.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's like her ghost is just sitting there waiting for the next parts when like her body is having to move on with other people who aren't getting her or stringing her along.
Claps for this song. It is so good.
I also just want to give a final shout out to her voice when she sings, we learned the right steps to different dances. And she goes, I can't even do it. It's like a fucking alarm. I'm going to insert it now. Different dances and fell. But I just think, wow, it's so haunting just the way she holds that note. It's like whimsical, like it is a ghost, like remembering the relationship.
Hence for Aaron Dessner, we need to kind of talk about this as well. Aaron Dessner kind of comes in and takes the baton from Jack at this point and says, I'm going to run with this album. It's going to be more folklore, Evermore based. Drop those synth pops. We're going to be getting devastation. And I think this is the first time I really felt like, oh, we've changed who we're getting involved in this work.
Yeah, Daddy Dessner said, thank you. Track number 22, So High School.
Bop, 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 bop. Aaron said, girl, give me some of those bops anyway.
He said, I've literally just crushed your heart in a mortar and pestle, so let's give it some 2000s flair.
Yeah, let's play some Grand Theft Auto.
Uh-huh, and let's listen to Avril Lavigne or Melissa.
This is like very Avril to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is literally one of the bops of the year so far for me. I can't get over how good this song is. There's like a narcotic in it, like she said. She puts something in these songs, and this, I just keep hearing the bit where she's like, truth, dare.
Spin, bottle, you know how to ball.
I know Aristotle. That part is literally like crack cocaine.
It's a ringtone for sure.
Oh, do we think this is about Travis? Yes.
100%. And you know Travis's big fingers were hitting next, 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 next until he could find a song that was about him, because he's probably bored of all these shout out to my ex moments.
No, he likes it. I think he likes it because he's the current boy in the slot. But even though the chorus is like, you know, the bit about American Pie, like all the bits just sound so honey in my ears. Like they're beautiful rhythms.
Do you see everyone being like, can someone check up on Allison Hannigan?
Yes, Willow is shaking apparently because she loves Taylor Swift.
Uh-huh. And she's putting a something something up or something.
Beep. This song's just fun and it doesn't have to be too serious. And you know, in the lyric video on YouTube where it says cheeks pink in the twinkling lights, T S and T K are lit up in pink for their initials. And I'm like, girl, be corny. I love that shit.
Yeah, there's also like a little job here where she's like, she's from smoking your jokes all damn night. She's like, no, not real drugs. No more drugs.
No.
Just jokes.
Just jokes. Heroin without an E. Oh, no, with an E.
Did you also see how Travis's friends were posting them playing Grand Theft Auto on their Instagram story?
No, no way.
Are you serious?
No, I didn't see. Which one was it? GTA 5. We don't know.
Girl, I don't, me? I don't know.
Sorry, I was a GTA girly back in the day. So I feel a bit seen.
You were driving cars into hookers.
But I know what I really like to do, and this is so sad. I like to try and like stay in the lines and like to see if I could just play normally. But then I also loved in Grand Theft Auto Vice City, and there's a cheat code where you could change the character, and I would always change them to be girls, obviously. But there was like particular ones that were like Anya from Buffy, so I'd being Anya with a rocket launcher, like I was just shooting up schools. Oh, oh, not so high school. Oh, track number 23, I hate it here.
You know what I hate?
Racism? I knew you were going to say that.
This is the Charlie Puth bomb of the anthology album.
Couldn't agree less. I do see what you mean to an extent in terms of like, it's the lyric that everyone's pointing to be like, oh, she's a problem. Like, let's talk about this song is known for that one lyric. My friends used to play a game where we would pick a decade we wish we could live in instead of this. I'd say the 1830s, but without all the racists and getting married off for the highest bid. I get that that sounds weird, but to me, this song is all about how nostalgia is not what you think it is. She even says that in this song. Nostalgia is a mind's trick. If I'd been there, I'd hate it. So she's basically saying, like, even when you romanticize something from the past, there is extreme negativity there, and that the world is never going to be perfect, which to me is kind of like an allegory to her and Maddie being something that happened in the past. She wanted to go back to that. And then when she went there, well, first of all, he is a racist.
Oh,
well, anyway. Oh, not me getting sued. And then second of all, it was just not what it was in her mind. It was worse.
Yeah, the grass is always greener. You want to go back. Oh, I want to live. Oh, did Bibi Rexha not want to live in 1920s Paris?
I'm not sure about all that, but that is very her brand. She's like bops and blitzes.
Oh, please. Yeah, so it's just like, oh, I want to live in the past because there was no social media. And then you're like, okay, well, there was no money, no family, 16 in the middle of Miami.
Yeah, there was no billboard like charts to be number one on for 50 fucking weeks.
No, you're making your music on the, what do you even call that? Dictaphone? Sonogram? No. So, what do you call that?
I don't know. Like, xylophone. No. Do you mean like when they do Morse code? I don't know what this is.
No. I can't even think of the word and you're not going to help me. So I'm just going to drop it. Can I also just say, can you imagine being at Pre's and someone's like, let's play a game. And it's not Jigsaw, but
yeah,
it's let's pick a decade. Also, it's got a short game.
Yeah, you just say a number.
Yeah, you have to say any decade, and then someone in the room is gonna be like, there's racism at that.
I think if we look back at any year, including 2023, there's racism. So I feel like,
yeah, where are we going to escape the racists?
I do see why people don't like the line. I'm not trying to take away from that. I get why you don't like the line, people. I get it. I just don't mind it. But I also, this song is just about trying to run away and find a place where nobody can go. The secret garden where you're the only person that has the key. Like, I get it. But this is probably really low for me on the list. It feels a bit dirgy. And I feel like she said the same thing on songs like The Lakes better for me.
Yes. And imagine if you're Joe listening to this and then again, you're like, girl, that's what I wanted. And now, mm-hmm. now you want it only after me. It's like, she can't make up her mind. She's all over the place.
But you know what? I think that's a good point in terms of like, he wanted seclusion. Now she's saying she wants it too. But then also it's like, whatever you want in your mind, you wouldn't actually want it when you got there. So I think there's a bit of irony in terms of, well, here's where I would like to go. And then if I got there, I wouldn't want it anyway.
Yeah, she's indecisive queen.
Relatable.
Track number 24. Thank you, Amy.
Brittany was literally changing the game when she was like, if you seek Amy. Now all the girls are hiding messages and songs about Amy.
I don't think you could say this is very well hidden.
But she's acting like this is like university challenge level when it's Blue's Clues.
Yeah, this is Codebreaker, but it's literally in capital letters.
Yeah, okay, so one of the... we'll tell the girls and the guys what this is about. This is about her being like, fuck you, Kim, you ruined my life. But also kind of like, thank you, Kim Kardashian, because those headlines, I got more popular and therefore I am where I am right now. And also, you know, thank you, Kim, because I made a reputation as a result and I was really down because of what you did and there I met you. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about the title of this in terms of like the capitalizations is, if you're a true Swiftie from the start, you'll know that up until 1989, she would capitalize certain letters in the booklet to be like, this is what the song is about, kind of like a hidden Easter egg. So this time she's like, I'm going to do it in the title of the song. So I like the throwback, maybe.
So in the third verse, she says, and so I changed your name and any real defining clues. I'm like, did you? Well, first of all, if you're one of my friends, you know what it's like to be fucked over by someone called Amy, but...
Boo.
So I appreciate that she picked that name and that spelling of that name, but I don't know why she did it so obviously, other than to kind of get the headlines that she's now getting. I don't think she needed any more extra press on this leg of this release, but...
I think I like it now, and I've only started to like it in this moment because I didn't like it until we were recording. But I feel like when she says, I don't think you've changed much, she's been like, but bitch, neither the fuck have I.
Yeah, she's like, I'm messy too.
You're going to be petty and you're not going to change? Well then guess what, babe? I'm going to do what I used to do and spell it out in the name so that you can get it. I feel like when I first heard it, I didn't like it because I was like, if it's so obvious, why would you not just say, fuck you, Kim. Thank you, Kim. I think that would have been more like ballsy. But now I'm thinking, and it's like, it's irony. Like, it's a joke.
Yes, because the same thing's happening now. She was getting all the snake emojis, and now everyone's saying thank you, Amy, on every post that Kim Kardashian posts, so...
Yeah, I think I like it more in, like, theory, but the actual song feels a bit repetitive, and I feel like it is a bit reductive to be talking about this drama still.
Yes, and I wish we just got the cuntified remix of this on Reputation Vault. Like, I want a more boppy one, not like a sing-song Aaron Dessner, Kim Kardashian takedown song. It seems a bit random and a bit like filling the quota of how many songs you wanted to put on the album. I guess I get that she wanted 31 because it's 13 backwards, but could you... I don't know why this is here. I just don't know why this is
here. Yeah, this should have been on Midnights for me, because Midnights is about sleepless nights from your life so far. And I get that this is a realization you would have at midnight when you were like, actually, you know what? That was actually going to be a good thing. Why it's on this album, for me, I don't know. If you have a theory about it, write in. I'm not sure.
Maybe she wanted to take down Kim's career starring in American Horror Story Delicate just at the peak of its airing.
Well, I just think Delicate from Reputation...
I don't know if Taylor knows what Ryan Murphy's up to.
I don't think Ryan Murphy knows what Ryan Murphy's
up to. No, Ryan Murphy hates Taylor. He knows what Taylor's up to.
Does he?
Deaf Taylor Swift.
Oh my God, I completely forgot. And the Chanel Wing.
Yeah.
Oh girl, I'd rather watch Scream Queens than listen to the song again. Track number 25. I Look in People's Windows.
Hands up if you're a lucky Lou.
Oh, hands up. I love being nosy.
Taylor loves being nosy.
Yeah, she says, I'm a stalker. I'm a creepy man.
She's in people's business, and she should be. Meddlesome men should be stalked and studied.
Absolutely. The derangement.
So, yeah, so this song is definitely a metaphor for looking through people's social media.
Yeah, 100%. Very me.
She's peeping through the...
Peeping through the curtains. Yeah, she's on those feeds, scrolling, looking through every single like, every single thing.
Yes, and it could be Joe, it could be Maddie, it could be Jake, it could be Ronan.
Oh, I don't think it's Ronan's social media now. No. I think this song is low-key a masterpiece. This is one of my favorite songs of this album, and it's so short. I think it's her shortest song of all time.
That's crazy. This is a song for the TikTok generation of crybabies.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm ready to literally stream it nonstop. I just love the cadence of a lot of the things that she does. Like, when she keeps repeating, like, out, out, out. Like, she just keeps going.
There's such a beautiful, like, cadence to her voice. And, like, it's very sing-song, but very muted as well. It's like, she's not belting. She's, like, under the covers, like, with the phone going to...
Not Baby Reindeer. This is very Baby Reindeer coded, if you've seen, actually.
Oh my god, sent from iPhone.
Yeah, there's not a lot to dissect in this one other than just how incredible it is. And I just love in the last chorus, she's like, I look in people's windows like I'm some deranged weirdo. I attend Christmas parties from outside. I'm just like, oh, there's so much self-awareness of like, I'm not well mentally, and that is fine because I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah, she's in the tagged photos. She's looking at your aunt's holiday from Mallorca 2013.
She's in the little highlights.
Yeah.
She really is. And I am there as well with her. So I relate to the song.
Yeah, I really like the line. I tried searching faces on the street. What are the chances you'd be downtown? It's like, oh my God, when you live near your ex and you're like, oh my God, what if they're in Easton's at 2 p.m. on a Thursday as well as me? But like, they never are, but...
It is very the tease of the one where she's saying, I thought I saw you at the bus stop, but I didn't though. Like, once you've lost that person, you're looking for them everywhere.
Yes, and it's like the dread of, oh my God, he's there. And also the nosiness of being like, oh my God, he's there.
Yes, and then the last lyric of this song is, what if your eyes looked up and met mine one more time? It's like, just one more. Like, would we get back together again if we just met one more time? Ugh.
Track number 26. The Prophecy.
I just feel like this is the best song on this anthology.
It is truly, honestly, incredible.
I really love the messaging and the thematic nature of this. I feel like it links so well to the rest of her discography. For me, a lot of her music, when it's about previous relationships, is about how it's faded, Invisible String being the main example of that. From Folklore. And here it's more her begging the prophecy not to be true. She doesn't want fate to be correct. And the fate here is that she's destined to be alone with no soulmate. And I just am like, ouch.
Yes, the speed at which she's speaking in this song as well is like, she's out of breath. She's like pleading. She's on her knees being like, please. This is like probably a few nights after you've been broken up with and you're like, sitting in complete silence and you have nothing to do and the person's not there to speak to and you're like, is this what I've been destined to have because I couldn't have what I wanted in my previous relationship?
Yeah, it feels panicked, like you say. It feels very desperate, and the lyrics match that as well. I love the lyric just at the start where she's like, thought I caught lightning in a bottle. Like, I thought I found the one. I thought I had this sorted. No, I was mistaken.
Yeah, and it's gone again. She's like, oh my God.
Not another one?
Not another one.
Yeah, literally.
You're joking. Not another one?
Yeah, I also like the non-denominational nature of this. She's not asking God. She's looking to the sky and she's pleading. And she's saying, who do I have to speak to? She's like, I don't know who, where, or when, but I need someone to listen to my panic because I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah, and I feel like in the second verse where she says, cards on the table, mind play out like fools in a fable, that reference to tarot card reading to like you say, it's not just religious imagery here, but it's more like divine nonsensicalness. I just feel like she's looking for answers in so many different places. You know, like when you like rub the magic eight ball or like shake it and you know what you want the answer to be and then you don't get the right answer. So you're like, right, I'll do another one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or when you do like a, what dinner will I have tonight on the wheel and you spin it and then you know what you want and you keep spinning till it gets to pizza. Like, that's what I'm doing with this song. It's like, okay, well, I see the fate. I want to change it. So I'll go again. Keep trying.
Not Becky Jones chasing the prophecy.
That was her allegedly whenever she got the salad on the wheel.
Fruit bag.
Or fruit bag. I wonder what we're going to choose there.
Yes, I like the imagery of talking about, as you said, fools in a fable or poison blood from the wound of the pricked hand, giving Aurora teas from Sleeping Beauty. She's like looking into media, like children's stories, anything to give her the answer that she is having this like existential crisis about. And I think that does tie in with the tarot cards. It's like, if you go beyond religion, what are you supposed to turn to. And then I feel like the line, the last line in the final bridge where she says, spending my last coin so someone will tell me it'll be okay. She, to me, is looking to therapy there, being like shilling out all this money to get the answer from another person, because she's asking God, asking the fates, asking anyone, and she like needs reassurance that this is not going to be the curse that she has.
Oh yeah, and she definitely talks about curse a lot in this song, because she feels like this has been something that's happened to her, like she's been stricken with this curse.
Yeah, it's like the opposite side of the albatross, because the albatross is she's aware that she's doing this to other people, whereas this prophecy is herself being like, oh, it's me, hi, and the problem.
Yeah. Track number 27, Cassandra.
Did every gay have that Greek mythology book when they were younger?
No, I didn't.
Oh my God, were you not into Greek mythology?
No, I didn't know about her.
Well, maybe to you, this song is just about Elvira.
Oh.
The lady, Cassandra O'Brien, got Delta 17.
Oh, no, against it.
So Cassandra of Troy was a princess and a prophetess who was cursed by Apollo, who was her ex-lover. And she was cursed to always deliver the truth, but never be believed by the people. So the main gist of the story is Cassandra told everyone about the fall of Troy, but due to the curse, she was not believed. And I guess this is an allegory for Taylor coming out talking about either Scooter or Kanye, or we're not sure, but yeah. I think those are the two main readings from a couple of lines in the song.
Yeah, I think both kind of, I think it kind of is like a dual attack. She's kind of coming for both of them, and the play is about us being these men. Because there's a lot of talk about how in the bridge, she says, you can mark my words that I said at first in a morning warning, no one heard, not a single word was heard. Now, for me, this is really about Scooter because she kind of tried in 2019 when all this master shit happened to say, this man is toxic. He is going to bleed my artistry for money for his own pockets and then just do the same to the next person and the next person. And she put out this like sort of public cry for help that no artist really answered. Like, I'm not gathering any of these girlies, but like Ariane Silent.
Demi.
Demi Silent. She was silenced. They were silenced. And Justin Bieber was silent because he's, anyway, a man who I don't really respect. But these people didn't do anything about their manager.
No, really. Till it happens to you.
Exactly, Miss Gaga. So for me, this is all about, okay, well now in 2023, Scooter was then hemorrhaging all of his clients. They all left him, all the aforementioned girlies and men. And no one kind of knows why and what had happened. But it's just funny that now it's like, oh, it's fine to leave Scooter because he's a bad person. But when Taylor tried to warn you and help you, you didn't really see that. And that's my reading of the Scooter element of this song.
Yes. And obviously there's, alongside Greek mythology, there's usually snakes. So there's the line, so they filled my cell with snakes. I regret to say, do you believe me now? So this is clearly like Miss Amy slash Kim filling up her social media with snakes, trying to change the story to be that Taylor was the snake and Taylor was hoodwinking everyone when it was the diametrical opposite.
It's actually the diametrical opposite.
Oh my God. Absolutely, the diametrical opposite. And this is very much, again, like, everything will come back. Karma's going to track you down. Like, we're getting the same theming here. And I like that she's done this sort of storytelling folklore approach to something like Karma. And I really, I think this is a really solid addition to the album as well.
Yes, you're definitely not going to get it the first time you hear it. Let me drag myself. But
yeah, it's a grower, I think, not a shower.
Track number 28, Peter.
Okay, if we ever break up, I'm kind of screwed at this point.
Yes, she's kind of give a stamp of approval for all the Peters out there.
Has she? She kind of read them.
No, she's waiting at the window.
And he's never growing up because he's being a little boy. Oh no, I'm scared.
So the obvious comparison here is to Peter Pan, which I feel like every little boy called Peter has been compared to or idolized, me included, in my Peter Pan jammies that I had.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you dress up as Peter Pan ever for Halloween?
Or was that too on the nose? No, I was too fat for them.
You were Shmi.
please. But yes, obviously with every Peter Pan comparison comes the comparison of the boy who doesn't want to grow up and lives in the magical land that he can take Miss Wendy / Tay Tay to, and then eventually she has to come back to real life and grow forward, getting older, but never like losing that sparkle that was that other person who is that, you know, getaway.
Yeah.
Getaway Belle.
It's almost kind of like true. It's kind of like Down Bad, where she's getting taken to an alien world. And it's, yeah, it's kind of like, and it's more fantastical. And I think Maddie Healy represents like just an escape from reality for her that she couldn't live in forever. And the chorus I really, really love because it's very repeated. It's like a mantra. Like, and it's almost like you're telling yourself it. Like, you said you were going to grow up, then you're going to come find me. But it was all a lie.
Yes, and it's repeated as if it is angry or pleading.
I like the complexity there.
I guess it's different when you imagine what age she is when she's singing each chorus, because it could be like...
over time?
Yeah. When she's... well, you know, you could feel that when you're older or younger, you're annoyed that you were left by this person who promised you something that they never came back to fulfill. Or you could be the person who's looking out the window being like, oh my God, I can't wait for like this summer when he's going to come back. And then it's like every summer you're getting older and then that's it.
Yeah. And the obvious comparison here is, you know, they've been off from, you know, and the obvious comparison here is that they initially dated in 2014 and now came back in 2013 and then came back in 2023. You know, there's almost been a decade passed, but Maddie hasn't changed. She still wants drugs. Like we've referred to in other songs, he's just not the right person for her. And then in the bridge, she kind of definitively puts an end to this saga where she says, the woman who sits by the window has turned out the light. She's not going to wait anymore. She's over waiting for Peter Pan and she's just moving on. And I didn't get this one the first time, but the complexity in it, I love it. Now I just, oof.
I was just buzzing. She was saying my name. I was like, oh my God.
Say my name, say my name. Not the vocal runs. Oh my God. And speaking of running, track number 29. The Bolter.
Now, I remember the first time we listened to this song that Paul and I really differed on what we took from it. I was stuck on her falling in that ice, and then Paul claimed he never heard she fell in the ice in the first place.
We're 29 songs in. I didn't think about the ice.
Yeah.
I saw she was the bolter, and she's a whore, and that's about it.
In my head, she was like a child falling through the ice and seeing her whole life flash before her eyes.
Well, that is the concept. So you did pick up more than I did.
But like, I don't know. The bolter, it's such an evocative word, but I don't know what it's giving. You know that show where they would make like little robots and they would fight each other?
What do you call that again? You told me about it.
No, it's not Bamzuki. That's different.
Robot Wars, just Robot yes. Wars.
I feel like one of the cars would be called the bolter. Like, it feels like grungy, like a tank, whereas it's just like a runner bean.
I thought it was going to be Usain Bolter. Like, I thought that's what the vibe was going to be. I thought it was going to be a runner bean.
Oh, really? Already?
I thought the song was going to be about her being with a man who was always going to run away from her, and he was going to be the bolter. I didn't realize that she was the bolter.
I don't know. Like, the word bolt is giving nuts and bolts to me.
I do see that. Like, it's Ratchet and Clank.
But then she fell through the ice, and I was like...
So you were alarmed. You were like, where am I?
For me, the visual is just the governess from the Doctor Who episode, The Snowman, where she's like a governess that fell in the ice, and then she's made of ice, and she's like, naughty children.
She is the OG bolter.
Yeah, she bolted, and she fell through the ice, and then she got to be in Doctor Who, so like, triple win.
For me, this is very getaway car vibes. And I know the reference is a bit obvious, especially when in the chorus she says, it always ends with the town car speeding out the drive one evening. But for me, this is just the second she kind of gets in a good place, catches feelings for someone, she's out the door. But the reason why I really like this song is that like chorus beat production cadence vibe, like the melody here. Like, I don't know, there's something about crack. There's a crack in this to me.
Track number 30, Robin.
I feel like this is the second most boring thing called Robin after Robin Dixon from Potomac.
Oh!
You know what, Robin? Robin, you are the dizziest bitch sitting at the table.
The dizziest what?
Bitch.
This song is dull. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, when we get into imagery about never growing up and children and no, it's a snore.
I love Never Grow Up from Speak Now. I think it's a devastating song about just wanting to live in your youth forever, not wanting to see your parents get sick and die, blah, blah, blah. It's traumatizing.
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly about Aaron Dessner, who worked on, as we say, a lot of these songs mm-hmm. from Folklore. His child is called Robin. So the concept of the song is about somebody called Robin.
Mm-hmm. Who Taylor obviously wants to protect from, like, growing up because... Yeah, she's like, I'm 34 and life will never be as exciting as when you're a child. So it's kind of like protecting the child from ever growing up. Clearly she's like spending time around Aaron and then just seeing Robin grow up from like working with him in Folklore. And then every time she comes back, like Aaron is still the same, but then she's seeing that change through his child. And she's like, oh my God, don't. Like, you know, when you're like, don't grow up. And then you go into the past and you're like to yourself, do not do that.
Yeah, but I feel like that's explored so much better in 7 on Folklore, where it's about like, when you think of me, I remember that I was 7 years old on a swing set. Like, and once she fell off the swing set, that was when life started to be bad. Like that, something bad mm-hmm. happens and you realize the world isn't perfect. That was so much more effective to me. And I've seen people be like, this is her singing to the child from 7, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. I'm going to stream 7 instead of this. And I don't like to be negative, but this is just a bit of a skip for me. Track number 31, The Manuscript.
Can you think of anything more traumatizing than writing down all your relationships and how they affected you, like some sort of scary CV?
No, but like looking at my own diary from when I was a teenager is really close. One of the entries starts with me saying, I feel like Bella Swan today. Like, when was I in a love triangle, babe?
Oh.
I was in a love line at the back. I was in the back of the line.
Love triangle deciding between KFC and McDonald's.
Don't
for
be
dinner.
So nasty and so rude. I would never have McDonald's for dinner. No, McDonald's is lunch. McDonald's is not dinner. So we'll be quickly moving past that. This song, yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. This is like her rereading the manuscript of all of these past relationships. We've got some references to Maddie. He said if the sex was half as good as the conversation was, soon they'd be pushing strollers, but then soon it was over.
He needs to stop promising her things that he had no goddamn business. He needs to stay out of women's business.
He needs to stay the hell away from me and this album again. And then we have a reference to John Mayer, who probably thought, okay, 31 songs and I'm free. And then she said, got my sniper on you.
Yeah.
Because in the second verse, it says she thought about how he said, since she was so wise beyond her years, everything had been above board, but she wasn't sure now. And this sort of predator again.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda, gobbled once more.
I just really like that. And then the bridge, she said, the actors were hitting their marks again about Joe. I feel like this song kind of sums up, like, as you say, it's her CV of mm-hmm. man. And she's ready to kind of walk through and past that now, I think.
To me, this also links into the imagery we talked about in the previous song of her maybe going to therapy. Although I think she said in an interview that she doesn't feel like she needs to go to therapy because she feels very sane. And I don't think that's right.
Yeah, I haven't heard the audio of that because there's no way she said that, but I have seen it all over my timeline.
Yeah, but it's almost like when she says here, the professor said to write it, what you know, looking backwards might be the only way to move forward. Feels like a therapist being like, you need to get this on paper through... Maybe it's an actual piece of paper in the manifesto, but it definitely feels like, yeah, working through your trauma by writing it down. And well, she's clearly written down a lot about her trauma over the years, but.
Yeah, I think it's like that thing, like write it down, throw it in the fire and let mm-hmm. it burn. And I think with the last lyric of the whole album being, the story isn't mine, it's yours, is very that tease of like, I'm done looking back at all of these things now. I'm going to put this out there. It's yours to consume, but it's not mine to relive anymore.
Say it, forget it.
Write it.
Regret it.
Period.
She actually wrote it. She put it in text form and then she chose to press the send button.
Yeah, no.
What do they say? Say it, forget it.
Right.
Write it, regret it.
Right. You're so right.
Okay, and there you have it. That has been our track-by-track analysis of the anthology songs on the Tortured Poets Department.
Yeah, feeling wrecked. Feeling like we need a look-a-see at sport.
Oh, with the, I hope they still have the bottles that like shoot out the bit. You know what I mean? Oh, you know what I mean? They changed the bottles.
But yes, it's definitely a mixed bag with the majority being good for me.
Yeah, this is aged better for me than I started in terms of the anthology section.
She just needs to edit. I get that 31 backwards is 13. I get it. But I don't think there's as much chaff as people are trying to claim, because obviously we have enjoyed the majority of the songs, but things need to be chopped. I don't think the album needs the cohesion of 31 different perspectives. I don't think songs like Thank You, EME or Robin need to be on this album.
Yeah, they would. Like, I kind of disagree with your point until you say it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I love this album in its totality, and over the past 5 days, it has just literally burned into my brain. Like, I'm obsessed with it. I can't get past it. But those two songs, Thank You, EME and Robin, haven't contributed anything to me in terms of, like, I don't like any melodies from it or any lyrics within it or, like, her voice particularly. You know, I think other songs have bits where I'm like, oh, you know, you could chop The Boulder, for example, but then the chorus I just find so infectious that I'm like, it needs to stay. Yes, but those two, no.
Yes, I remember when we listened to the anthology section of the album and I didn't really enjoy it, I was kind of saying to you about, oh, I could just make a playlist of the songs I like and then make it into like Peter's version.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, when I went to actually do that, the majority of songs at least feel like they should be here. They're in the theme. They belong in the same sound. But I do feel like there are some outliers, but like that's the same in any album. No, even if you write a 14 song album, there's going to be one or two that I'm like, I would skip that. But when you want to shuffle it, it does sound cohesive. And I remember when we first listened, I thought, if you shuffle this, it will be very different vibes. Because I think the anthology is, well, people are saying the anthology is the Woodville.
Right, the Woodville that never was, yeah. Kind of, yeah.
But I feel like they are cohesive and they do live in the same universe when you want to shuffle the entire album, the 31 songs.
I agree. I think it's too early for me to really have a definitive view on where this sits in a discography. You know, every time I'm like, is it better than Midnight's? Oh, I'm not sure. Is it better than, you know, Folklore? No, it's not. But I don't know in the sort of like top middle half where it slots in for me, but that is where it lives in my brain right now. I can't wait to see what she does with the Eras tour with this. Will she add another era section and chop off some other songs? Will she just do them as surprise songs? There's so much about this era that we don't know because, like we said, she kind of had teased there were going to be more things happening in the release week. She's not at this date of recording done another single thing past the Fortnite music video. So is that the full era? We don't know. And I'm interested, you know, look back on this in a few years' time and see what this era means. Or is it just an album?
Yes, we'll definitely be crying at the Eras tour. And come find us to cry if you're in Edinburgh, London or Dublin.
Tay, we are low in cash and high on tears as a result of this album and the Eras tour. But yeah, if you stuck with us this long, thank you so much for listening.
If you enjoyed this episode or enjoy just hearing us ramble and talk about women in pop as we should, then please consider giving us a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Write a review. We've got a little poll on Spotify. Interact with our socials. All of these things help boost our reach and get more Swifties to be under our spell.
And don't worry, we won't be gone for too long. We'll be back with season 3 of Snapped very soon. As always, there will be a sneak peek of the first episode at the end of this one.
Yes, so keep an eye on our socials to find out when the episodes will be dropping.
At SnappPod on Instagram.
And as always, I've been your torture poet, Pete.
Not even Peter for this episode.
Okay, I'll be a torture poet, Peter, for this.
And I have been your anthologist, Paul.
And we'll see you very soon for Snapped. Season 3.
Bye.